It's really good seeing so many folks here. I did kind of probably like you, Pete. I was thinking, you know, everybody will still be feeling like they're snowed in, even if the snow's not there. And you know, I was praying last night, you know, about what to say this morning. And I thought, oh, the last thing you want to do is kind of, you know, it's first Sunday of the year. You don't just want to kind of do a you know, everything's fresh and everything's new and all of those sorts of things. But actually, this morning when I woke up, I had a strong sense of needing to say something for this season. You know, that in terms of what I wanted to say this morning is what I do believe the Lord is actually saying for 2011. And if you're around in December, I spoke about some of the words that are coming prophetically for 2011. And it's been fantastic to be a part of the flow and release of those in other circumstances. And so as I was waking up this morning, I had this strong sense of, and what does that mean? Because you know, in December, what I was saying is we need to be preparing our hearts. And I really felt that the Lord is wanting to speak into us about the real wide scale release of real prophecy. Okay. And it was a mark of the new coming season, the new covenant that was coming in the Old Testament, that absolutely everybody would be prophesying. That's the point of that verse. It's, I pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters prophesy, your servants and even your maidservants, i.e. female slaves that were sold for less money than male slaves in the market, even they're going to be prophesying. That from the greatest to the very least, with my spirit in you, you become part of the job of creation. You see, when God creates, he spoke, and the spirit went out and hovers over the raw material of creation, and up comes the order, and up comes God's purposes, and up comes God's plans from the chaos of the water. And he puts his spirit in us because we've become part of the flow of God's creative power in the earth. And so there is something about this coming year that the Lord has spoken into from places all over the place, and there is a place of participation for us, and that comes from being in the flow of the release of God's purposes by the way we speak and the way we use our connection with heaven to release his purposes and become part of that that flow. And I just felt the Lord wanted me to speak this morning into what that's going to look like and what it means for us as a church. Sorry, I don't know your name. Yeah, it's you. I'm looking. What's your name? Matt. Okay. When you came in, I felt like I kept looking at you. You may have noticed that, and you might have wanted to come over and punch me. But yes. but just in worship, I felt the Lord wants to say this to you, Matt, that sorry, is this your wife? Your girlfriend? Okay. Right. Matt, you are a man with real deep passionate emotions. And actually sometimes those can even scare you a little bit. And I think if somebody insulted your girlfriend, you'd probably smack them. But actually you have a strong wiring for justice. You're very strongly wired, and actually that gives you a bit of a wound, because you can't care about what's real and what's true and be sensitive in this world without feeling the wound of it sometimes. And that you, what the Lord wants to say is you'll find rest for your soul when you're in the place where you're an advocate for those that need a voice. Okay, because it's that combination of your passion, your compassion, and that wiring for justice is you will find rest for who you are when you find a place for being an advocate for those that need a voice. So, Jesus starts his ministry. He stands up in the synagogue. Do you remember? And in Luke 4, and he says, "I have been anointed to proclaim release for the captives, or the year of Jubilee." The Greek word that he uses for the word release is used in the Greek version of the Old Testament for Jubilee year. I've come to proclaim Jubilee. I have come to speak it out. See, before Jesus started doing signs and wonders, he spoke out what was going to go on, what was going to happen. So he proclaimed it. And then it goes on to, and it says to bring sight to the blind and to release the captives and so on and so forth. So Jesus starts with a proclamation. And there is, you see, something about, you know, we talk about, oh, that person's all words, no actions. But actually in the Spirit, the whole thing is turned upside down. In the kingdom of God, things are turned upside down. That in the Spirit, we release by our words the truth and the actions, and we empower them. We capture something from heaven, and by speaking it out, it is like we have earthed the power we've touched into. And so Jesus actually starts his ministry not with the miracle. Although he'd done the miracle in Cana, that wasn't to start his ministry. That was before his ministry. It was the truth of who he was, kind of pushing him forwards. But he starts his public ministry by the speaking out of what is about to happen. And then he goes on. And it is fascinating. And I would have checked this with the person, but I didn't think about it until this morning. But someone came and told me, because at that last joint meeting, you know, I'd given a word and some people had come for a prayer, and I started to pray over this person and I started to prophesy over them. And I prophesied, I said, the Lord is going to put oil on the quiet anger in you. See? And they came up and they said, when you said that, I was really annoyed. And they said, because I felt judged by you. See? And there's a point for telling this story. And they said, but then what happened was over the next week, there was a stack of things that normally cause a huge irritation inside me. And I don't normally do anything with the irritation. It just winds me up. And those things were happening, and I just wasn't feeling it. And you see, one of the things I want to say is where the real prophetic comes with something that changes things. It's not predictive of one day in the future. It is generative, and it's looking to release something fresh and let something new and a new experience. Now, sometimes they don't happen straight away. But, you know, it talks in Scripture about the in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You know, I think, you know, when Jesus says that when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. And then he says, and if you agree on earth, then it will be done for you. Is what he's talking about is a prophetic agreement. It's almost that sometimes it takes two or three to align things up. And so there can be times when you speak out and nothing happens. But then further down the line, another word is given, and it releases it's the second or the third. And I often say that to folks as you give a word. Wait, listen for the second and third witness. Don't just take it on one, but take it on two or three. But you see, what I'm wanting to get across here is we are, as a church, we are needing to step into a place where we are beginning to prophesy to the world around us, because that is how the kingdom of God is going out. Okay. The kingdom of God does not come by sitting waiting for signs to happen. That's what Jesus says. Do you remember that in Luke 9? The kingdom of God does not come by watching for signs. The kingdom of God is in you, you see. And so we release it as we speak it out. Hopefully it's not embarrassing for Paul, but I had the great privilege of doing a journey with Paul to pray for someone. During the week, and as we were driving there and we were talking, we both said we'd prayed. Some of you will know the situation. We both prayed independently. I just said, you know, obviously you have to be very careful with people's emotions as you give these things. I said, but as I prayed, I really had a sense that this isn't to death. You know, it's a situation. And Paul said, so did I. See, so he had the same feeling. And we were sitting with the husband in this case, whose wife is critically ill and had been told to come in and say goodbye to her and all those sorts of things into the hospital. Paul actually just said, leaned over and said, I don't think she's going to die. Now you see, there is if you've heard something from the Lord and you speak it out, you are connecting prophetically. Okay, it's not the same as wishful feelings and wishful thinking. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, the prophetic doesn't have to be, you know, standing at the front shaking for half an hour, which does happen, and then kind of, thus saith the Lord, and big complicated, and this is how I saw the vision. You know, I was like Ezekiel, and I saw this, and I saw that. Sometimes when that happens, because sometimes it does come to us that way, sometimes when we relay things that way, it's because we are insecure in what the Lord has said anyway. Does that make sense? So if I make it sound as religious as possible, then I've kind of covered myself. Sometimes it's just as simple as, yes, I did hear from the Lord before we came, and I'm just going to lean over and say, this is going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And But this is what the Lord wants to release in us as a people. Now, the thing with the prophetic is we do have to become mature in it. Because Jesus speaks those words, I've come to proclaim your favor. And then what did he do? He sat down. Okay. He didn't try to make it happen. He sat down. But what then happens is it creates a discussion. And then they go on and they ask Jesus some more. And now he starts to speak continuously out of what he's seen. And what at first they were all very excited about, suddenly they become unhappy about. Because the truth of the prophetic is an expression of the love of God, but love comes with two arms. One is grace and one is truth. Jesus is the realization of grace and truth. And the problem is, as a church, we love it when prophecy is all encouraging, okay, or is all gracious, let's put it that way, it's all gracious. But when there is an element of a word of truth, we don't like that. Okay, and we can react to it. And what I want to say is, actually, prophecy is always encouraging and it always builds up. But actually, encouragement sometimes needs some reality to come in with it. And so all that Jesus is doing is continuing to speak the prophetic word. But suddenly we've moved from the bit that's good, you know, because God is really for you. He really loves you. He really thinks you're brilliant. He really thinks you're fantastic. But this thing is causing a real problem. You move on to this thing is causing a real problem. And actually, you know what? He loves those of people who are oppressing you right now, which is the problem with Jesus. That's what he said next. He said it's favorable year of the Lord. And guess what? It's for everybody. It's for the foreigners and this and that. And then they get angry. You see? And then they get angry. Because it's for those that you don't like too. I feel that, okay, one of the things I want to say is, over this year, at the end of this year, the congregation here is going to look very different. And there are people in this room who shouldn't be here. Some for good reasons, some for bad reasons. Sorry. There are some people who shouldn't be here. Some of you should be in other churches. Okay? Some of you should be in other places. So that's where the Lord's calling you. That's where he's taking you. Some of you should be in other churches because actually they need you. Some of you should be in other churches because actually you're just here for the wrong reasons. Okay, and I'm just saying, I have no agenda here. I wanted to say that in a year's time, the congregation, the faces here, will be different. Okay. They will be different. It will be a different congregation. Because God is doing things this year. And we have an opportunity to join in heart with what he is doing. Okay. The kingdom is not going to come by sitting there watching for signs. The kingdom is in you. And that means as the kingdom is in us, there is a realignment and a replacing. And it says that those that bear fruit, which God calls the righteous, are those who are planted by a stream. And some of us need to know where we're planted. Some of us are just here by accident. We actually need to know where God has put us. Okay. And that's not always a comfortable thing. Because sometimes we're in a place that feels comfortable, but it's not the stream he's put us by to feed us and water us. And producing fruit means to be by the right place, be in the right place. And so this is not, can you hear me carefully? This grace and truth is that the Lord is coming. You know, there are already, I see the step up in things. And that's one of the great privileges of going other places. And I found increasingly in other, in places that, used to go have words of knowledge, and you say there's an achy back in the room, and someone respond, that's great. Increasingly, I find that God's is giving me names and conditions at the same time, and things like that. And you think something is stepping up, something is increasing. God is on the move. I really, absolutely, this is not kind of hype for this year. God is going to move, but when God moves, it is an uncomfortable thing. Okay, this isn't God's going to move. This is God is going to move. What are we doing? What are we going to do? And we need to understand the authority we have in him. And that the words that we speak can be the releases of his purposes and plans. We become participants with him in it. As we bring our hearts into alignment and we learn that we can actually prophesy into people's situations. People at work, people that you meet at the school gates. And we need to become more confident in the truth of who we are, so that we actually prophesy not as words of encouragement. And one of the things that the church has often done is confused words of encouragement with words of prophecy. It's not too drastic an error, because obviously if something is encouraging, that's not a bad thing. But a word of encouragement is often, I can kind of sort of see where you're going and I just want to really encourage you to go for it, and I give it. But we often package them as if they're prophecies. Okay, it's good to be in an encouraging environment. So there's nothing wrong with it in one sense, but it's not the same as the word that sort of releases the anointing, that releases the situation. Part of the reason I'm saying this is because I make a note when lots of things start happening. I've had quite a few testimonies in the last month of people who I over the years have kind of come along and said, "You spoke this word to us, and then I went away, and this happened." You know, someone who said, "Oh, you prophesied over me that I was going to have a change in my job situation." And I thought, I haven't a clue what you think, and it would be in an area that I've never worked in before. And he said, "Well, I just wanted to let you know, today I'm working in an area I've never worked in before. I'm the only person in my company who's not qualified in the area they're working in. But this is where God's put me. I wasn't expecting it, but it happened." You see, that's the difference between an encouragement of "you are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Lord loves you, he's put these gifts in you, he wants to release them." That's encouragement, okay, and it's still a spiritual gift. And it's actually one of the foundations of prophecy. But there is a different level when something gets released. And so there are things that the Lord wants to release on this earth, and that's why he wants all of his people to learn how to do it. How to give words that if we start with encouragement, but we are looking to get to that place where the words we release his purposes. And so that was, you know, there's one, and then there's these people came up and said, I did a meeting, some of you saw the report, I went with Terry, and we saw quite a few fantastic things kind of happening there. And there was a couple that actually that's not a prophecy one, so I'll leave that one. forget that one. But increasingly, I've seen people coming back and saying, "Look, you said this, and then this happened, you said this, and then this happened." Colin told the story of saying to this guy, you know, "The Lord's going to rewire your brain," and him breaking depression in him, you see. And that's the sort of thing I mean. But it's not supposed to be just something that happens here. It's supposed to be something that happens all the way out there. One of the things Paul has to write to in Corinthians is the problem that is caused, because everybody's lining up to prophesy. Because the early church understood that they were all supposed to prophesy. And the problem is they all tried to do it in church. So they said, "In church, you just can't do that in church." Well, the implication of that is if we're all called to prophesy, but we can't all do it in church, where is most of us supposed to be doing it? Yeah, on the street, exactly. Yeah, but the truth is most folks wouldn't receive a kind of prophecy if we gave it in the way that we might do in church sometime. We just have to learn to look at someone and see the purposes and feel the purposes of God over them, and just be able to speak out of that. And I say it's as simple as that sometimes. One of the things that is actually more complicated in church is the biggest battle I have personally on these things is the pressure to perform in church. You know, if you've got some stories or whatever, and then you stand up front, you think, "All right, okay, well, I've got to get a good one today. Keep the kind of momentum up," or whatever. That's a genuine internal battle, because it makes you look for the performance, you know, or the thing that keeps your reputation going, or whatever. And that's a real genuine spiritual battle. But, you know, it says in Scripture that we have the mind of Christ. And actually what all we need to do sometimes is we have to lean and say, "Lord, give me your heart for this situation." Look at the times where someone comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus was moved with compassion." And in other words, the emphasis in the, because I've actually looked at every occasion where it happens, it is almost like an emotional response breaks in. It's not that I'm feeling emotional and here comes the guy. It is that actually in this new encounter, a new emotional response emerges in Jesus. It is as though the Father is directing him by an emotional response. We can have the mind of Christ, we can feel the heart of the Father for someone. And so when you're with someone, sometimes I'm just start to try and get into the habit of saying, okay, just give me your mind for this person. Let me feel what you feel for the person. And I want to commend John Richards on this. I've done a few things with him in various places, and he's very good at just in the moment, kind of leaning into the what's the Lord feel about this person and speaking it out. Okay, and it doesn't have to be weird or scary. It's just out it comes, and often you see the person's spirit lifts, that kind of little bit of encouragement, and you see that, but. We need to know who we are to do it. You see, when I feel the pressure to perform in the supernatural, if I can put it that way, you strive after it. Whereas when you are seated with him in heavenly places, when you have his feeling heart, it just kind of flows. Does that make sense? So there's this place where we have to get into this habit of saying, it's not about my performance. But what do you feel in this situation, Father? What is your mind in this situation for this person? And we just get into the habit as we go through life. And what we'll find is that we are increasingly prophesying to people. And sometimes the words will look just like they're words of encouragement. But the difference is that things will break in people's lives as they move on. And they will remember. You know, that person said that day. And ever since then, it's been this way. It's not just kind of wishful thinking, encouragement, but there is a genuine, yeah, I had the heart of the Father for you. I just want to come back to this thing of the fact that the grace and truth, you know, grace does tend to come first in the prophetic. But the truth does always follow. You know, truth does always follow. And because, as I say, real love embodies both. It's kind of like grace is the right hand and truth is the left hand, if I can put it that way. And we have to become open to the Lord doing that into us, speaking those ways into us. You know, that one of the hardest, I've kind of alluded to, I never quite tell the full story, but one of the toughest experiences for me back in 2009 was a word that the Lord spoke to me, and he very kindly, just before he gave me the tough bit, put the word beloved into my head. so I kind of literally knew he spoke beloved, and then I read this word in scripture that he told me to go and read, and it's very tough, but it came wrapped, you see. Right arm of grace, left arm of truth. Because obviously we can't expect the world out there to receive it if we can't receive it ourselves as the people of God. There is going to be a sifting this year that goes on. Okay. And the tragedy is, and I say this is a real tragedy, is that whenever the Lord does something fresh, there are always people who don't want it. Okay, because they have enjoyed what they've had before. And I say that with no kind of ha-ha, you know, I'm going to do it and you're not at all. It's just the sad truth. And so I'm aware that this year could be a year of uncomfortableness as we feel the tensions of, do we want where the Lord's going, or would we rather be back where we were? And it won't always look like God's way is the right way. That was the truth when Jesus came too. You know, it requires faith to follow. It's not like it's the dead cert. You know, when people followed Jesus, it wasn't a dead cert. But something in their hearts knew the truth of it, and they were willing to take the risk and to run into problems. And as happened, you know, with those of us going through Acts, getting kicked out of your local synagogues because you want to be aligned with where Jesus is going. And it looked so foolish. And so actually, I believe during this year that while we're going to start seeing much more much more of the supernatural, it won't always be obvious to us that that's the winning way. It's a matter of heart that says, you know, but you know what? Over here lie the truth and the words of eternal life. And where else would we go if we didn't follow this way? We didn't follow this way. And there'll be plenty of religious logic around that says we shouldn't be. And it's disordered and it looks messy and it's... And have you seen the person who's coming into prominence now and their terrible background and all the things they got wrong? And have you seen, that can't be the God, can it? That can't be the Holy Spirit. Can't be him doing it. Because the prophetic eyes have to look at the world and see what is being built, not the building site that it is at the moment. So I feel like I'm a bit over heavy here, because actually the prophetic is fantastic. It releases healing, it releases sight for the blind, it releases captives from the bondages that lock them up. You know, when the lame man is laid at the feet of Jesus and he looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven, he was releasing him from the debts of bondage, which were heavier to him than his own physical condition. And he says, so you can understand, I had the authority to do that, now you can get up and walk. You know, if you or I, we know if we say that, nothing would happen. Well, maybe not, you know, if you're in the moment and the Spirit's there with you. But what I'm saying is, in the natural, it doesn't happen. It works because we are connecting the heart of heaven and therefore releasing its purposes. It is what earths the power of the heart and the will of God into the now. Into the now. And he wants to call us to be participants in it. And you see, here you go. The early church, I had a couple of things I do want to say, sorry. So I was talking to the Lord this morning as I was driving over about, okay, what is the battleground for us? I felt that the battleground for us is around thankfulness. Okay. And as I thought about it, it was interesting, and you know, there's that verse in Romans where it says they didn't honour God and they weren't thankful. Okay, now we're people who do honour God, but there's the second part, and they weren't thankful. And it says, and so as a result, God gave them over to their flesh, i.e. your natural abilities. See, and here's the thing is, you know, we all know, don't we? We want to bless our children, but we also know that if you give a kid too much, what happens is they stop becoming thankful for it. It's true, isn't it? Have you noticed that? You know? And we don't realise in the West how unthankful we are. If I can put it that way. Because we are in an environment that is generally sort of... We have been nurtured in an environment that expects me to get my rights. But there's no need to be thankful for what is my right. Does that make sense? We have so many rights, we have so little to be thankful for. We have such a foundation of wealth that when I have food every day, I am angry that I don't have a good house. You know, we focus then on the luxuries we don't have instead of... And so, in actual fact, it's why the poor in spirit find it so easy to access the kingdom of God. And so one of the words I want to put in, which is not a kind of... you know, this is true for us. This is our cultural battle. This is our cultural war, is a place of thankfulness. Because what it says is, because they weren't thankful, God gave them over to their flesh. That doesn't mean to say everything is terrible. What it means is we're left with who we are. We don't have the Spirit. And so there is a battle for thankfulness. There really is. It's really interesting. There's a verse in Isaiah 8 where it talks about what happens to the people who had loads and then God took it away from them. And people who never acknowledge God in thankfulness when they had it are the first to say it's all his fault when they haven't got it. It's just interesting, isn't it? Just that interesting little heart thing. So we're not thankful to him when we've got it, but when we haven't got it, it's all his fault. And what on earth is God doing to me? And how on earth have I been so stupid to ever believe in him when the moment things don't go well, I haven't got it, and I'm angry with him. See? And I'm just saying, this is our spiritual battle. I would say prophetically, this will be our battle, is to become a more thankful people. As a more thankful people, we will have the solutions and the words. And we will have that place to speak out. And so I actually, I know this will be controversial to say, I believe that in some of the shaking that the Lord is doing at the moment, is he is taking away some of the West securities and the things we've been previously secure in. And it will show up the hearts. You'll see who are the first people to jump up and say, now it's all God's fault, even though I didn't thank him when we did have it. Because the funny thing is that those who are often thankful for what God's given them somehow survive those times so much better. So thankfulness. I just felt the Lord wanted to speak into it, speak it as a word, as a challenge to us in our hearts, to become, make a list of those things that we are grateful for, that we are thankful for, because it actually takes us into a place of spirit. We enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come into his presence. We know heaven connected to us by that battle. And I just really do feel it's part of our battle. Not saying it's part of your battle, not mine. I'm saying it's part of our battle. It is, and we don't realize it because we live in that environment. We become so steeped in it. Well, it's just what we expect. It's our rights. So why should I be thankful in it? Why should I be thankful in it? So, sorry, it feels like it's been a... it's fantastic. It's 2011. It's a fantastic new year coming. It's going to be a very exciting new year. It really is. It's going to be a very exciting new year. But it's the grace and the truth. It's not just going to be an exciting new year because it's a fresh new year and we can forget all the things that didn't happen last year and all of that. The Lord really is moving, you know. He really is. Just absolutely everywhere I go, you are hearing more and more miracle stories, more and more stories of God breaking in, provisions happening. But in those times of visitations, things get shaken up. and it will challenge us in our heart attitudes. And that's why I said there will be some folks, and maybe it's not physically here or not, but who will find this move very difficult. And that's why I want to challenge into it now. Speaking to it now so we know what's happening. There has never been a move of God that has not been difficult for those that have belonged to the previous movement. And we are a product of the previous moves of God. Back in the 70s and then in the 90s, you know, we are a product of those things. So the reality is when this one comes, there will be those of us in it. We'll find it difficult. But I really want us to go. And I believe one of the hallmarks of what he's doing is this release of prophecy. It's taking us back to the Old Testament. Sorry, to the New Testament. The New Testament, nobody ever preached a sermon from Scripture or from the New Testament because they didn't have it. Okay. So all those times when it talks about giving the word, they're not talking about sermons from the New Testament. What they're really talking about is what is the Spirit saying right now? How do I give it? How do I relate? Now, I love the New Testament. Hear me. You know, that's why I teach through it. It is a part of the foundations and the anchor of who we are is in our Christian faith. But you see, what they did have was that experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit that made them all prophesy, to make them all become agents who spoke out creatively what God was saying into people's lives, what he felt over them, what he believed for them, what he wanted for them. That's what they could all do. They could all do that. And the Church of God grew at this most incredible rate. 12 people joined Jesus to follow him around Judea. And a couple of centuries later, 10% of the world's population are owning his name. The world has never seen anything like that. Anything like that. Nothing has ever grown as fast as that. I mean, yeah, because it's 300 or 400 years to get to that point, we think that's a long time. But actually, in terms of from zero to 10% of the world's population. It's incredible. What did they do? Well, they just knew how to speak out the purposes of God. Not just their wishful thinking, not just their hopes, but yeah, I've really lent into him. I felt him for you. I'm going to speak it out. It's going to change your life. And so, you see, the truth is, the world is going to get changed by preaching. But it's not preaching that happens here. See, I remember an old liberal guy that used to come and speak to us at college, and he always used to equate preaching with prophesying in the Old Testament. And he was right, he just didn't understand. you know, that is not the sermon, but it is that getting hold of the moment, getting hold of what the Spirit is saying and releasing it to the individual. So where I wanted us to do is we're going to take communion together this morning. But I want us to have an opportunity before we do for actually each of us just to lean into what the Lord's saying and give words to each other. Because this is the place to practice. Okay, here is a safe place to practice. And it is simple as saying, okay, what is the mind of Christ for this person right now? What is the Father's Spirit? To try and let go of what my personal agenda is with the person. Okay, because we all have personal agendas if you know someone. And that's the difficult thing about prophesying in a place that everyone knows you and you know everybody. You have to untangle your personal agendas a lot more. So much easier when you go somewhere and you haven't a clue who the person is and they're never going to see you again. You can just say what you like to them. That's a dangerous thing. You can't say what you like to them. But somehow it feels emotionally easier. So you wrap it up and say, okay, well, it may start as a word of encouragement. Let's be honest and let's recognize words of encouragement as really good foundational things in church. And if that's all it is, that's still good. Okay, but actually what we're looking for is we lean into the Lord. So you say, if you're looking to say something encouraging to the person, what I'm saying is, even if it's not prophetic, it's still good. You hear what I'm saying? As you lean into the Lord, say, what's your heart for this person? If you start to feel something, just say it. And speak it out. Don't own responsibility for it. Okay? So I'm saying, Jesus gave his word, then sat down. You know? He didn't go and heal a blind person. Here's my word, I'm here to do this. Let me now show you how it works. He let it hang there. He let it have its own creative time. Of course, they then come back with questions and leads on, and then he says the things they don't like. So what we'll do is if we just stand together. And Father, what I want to say is, Lord, you have a word over every single person in this room. I love this verse in Acts. Many of you have heard me use it a few times, where Paul says, I commend you to God and his word of grace that has the power to build you up. There is a word of grace that hangs over every single one of you. And somehow the Lord wants you to hear it. Okay? There is a specific word that hangs over every single one of you that the Lord wants you to hear. And very often he lets you hear it through somebody else speaking it to you. And that's what we call prophecy. So, Father, I just say thank you. There is a cloud of grace over us, Lord Jesus, this morning. There is a word of grace that hangs, a drop of God's goodness over each one of us, that has the power to change us, that has the power to release new gifts in us, to new emotions in us, to shape us, to guide us, to lead us. Those are your words of grace that hang over each of us. And so, Father, what I ask this morning is that just in this moment you would help us to lean into you, to get your heart, to get the mind of Christ for each other. Oh, okay. And so what I want you to do is just while you're there, just pray that prayer. So I want to lean in. And now just open your eyes and look around. See who the Spirit draws out, draws to your attention. Who does the Holy Spirit draw to your attention? Okay. And sometimes the Lord draws someone to your attention before you have a word for them. So then you say, so Father, what is your mind for that person? What is it you want to say to that person? I just want to encourage us in this place. We're going to do that. And some of you may not want to do it, and that's absolutely fine. But for those of you that want to lean into the Lord for somebody else, I just want to encourage you to go and give your word. And then we're going to go into a place of communion. Because, you know, sometimes it's important to act on what we've heard. And so by doing it this morning, it becomes easy to do in the future. And Paul, you've got a word for someone, so do you want to go and give it to them? So, okay. So we encourage folks to move and give words.